From WIPR, I'm Melissa Geer. We're On the Record. What makes a firework work? On the cusp of Independence Day, we speak with Jason Farrell, the fireworks coordinator in charge of the design and detonation of hundreds of pounds of fireworks for the 4th of July celebration at Baltimore's Inner Harbor. And we meet John Conkling, a chemist and former director of the American Pyrotechnic Association, who describes what goes inside fireworks to make audiences say ooh and ah.
I think it's something really just psychologically deep in the human soul to see the sky explode in color, noise, light. There's just something about going from darkness and peace and quiet to beautiful chaos.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm producer Melissa Geer, in for Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Last year, Americans purchased more than 250 million pounds of fireworks, and spectators watched as about 19 million pounds were professionally detonated in colorful displays overhead. That's at the cost of $1.31 billion, all disappearing into glorious, awe-inspiring puffs of smoke. Though the beauty is fleeting, the dazzling jets and shimmering bursts of light and color fascinate and thrill audiences worldwide. Fireworks may feel like pure magic to watch, but they're made up of pure science. Later in the show, we'll ask a fireworks coordinator what it takes to set up and blow up the spectacular 4th of July fireworks display in Baltimore's Inner Harbor this Thursday. But first, to understand what makes them burn and explode in all of those glittering shapes and colors, we're talking with John Conkling, Professor Emeritus of Chemistry at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland. He's also the former executive director of the American Pyrotechnic Association, a position he held for 13 years. We're meeting at his home office. Welcome to On the Record, John.
Good morning. It's nice talking with you.
What makes a firework work?
Chemistry. You need a chemical reaction that's going to produce heat, and that heat is going to make the various chemical elements in your mixture glow, and they emit specific colors of light, so you're able to get a variety of colors, a variety of effects. Burn duration can vary from a flash to a long burn that burns all the way down to the ground. So there's a lot of variety possible.
And so what sorts of chemicals are we talking about inside?
One of the chemicals at least will be an oxygen-rich chemical. At high temperature, that chemical breaks down and oxygen atoms, very hungry oxygen atoms, are released. They're looking for something to react with. In many fireworks, that's a metal powder, aluminum or magnesium powders that burn at a high temperature with a lot of heat release, again, to get the bright colors activated.
And what is the actual vessel shape? Like, how is this all packed together?
Well, either it'll look like a tennis ball or larger, or a soup can or larger. They're cylinders or spheres that are fired out of a tube. A charge of black powder, the original gunpowder, is beneath this firework casing, which is usually cardboard, and propels it up in the air. When it leaves, as it's leaving the launching tube, the flame lights a fuse on this insert, and it's designed to burn 4 or 5 seconds till it gets high in the air. It burns into the center of the fireworks package and blows it open with the display, the color, the light, the noise, whatever they're trying to get out of it.
And what are the specifics that make those colors?
Chemistry, the chemical elements. The element strontium, for example, it has the property of, at high temperature, it emits a beautiful red light. Copper can give you a bluish flame color. Barium can give you a green flame color. The metal powders, aluminum or magnesium, will give you the bright white flashes of light. So the artist takes all those paints to make the objects to throw up in the air and burst and see the effects.
What makes, I know that some fireworks have different sounds to them. Is that, how is that produced?
Well, the boom is produced by what is basically black powder, the old gunpowder. Confine it, and it creates pressure. It gets to whatever the strength of that casing is and blows it open. You can also get a whistle effect, which is a pressed chemical mixture that burns vibrationally, and these little pulses of gas escape from the surface, and your ear picks that up like a whistle effect. They're screeching in some cases.
Can you talk a little bit how the different patterns, like really, some of them are really detailed designs. I was at Disneyland once, and there were fireworks in the shape of Mickey Mouse heads. How does that work?
A lot of science, but also a lot of art. It all starts with the pellets, these chemical mixtures that produce the particular flame colors. You can have then inside the casing, these shells range from 3 inches in diameter up to perhaps 12 inches in diameter. So they're the big boys. They go way up in the air and burst. And then you put these pellets inside this casing in the pattern that you want to see up in the sky. And then it's a secret of how much of the bursting charge do you put in there, how tightly do you seal the package so you get the pattern to just go out into the night sky, expand, and produce the oohs and the ahs. You're looking for a big ooh-ah factor when you're putting the show on. You want everybody to be overwhelmed by what's going on. And, of course, the loud concussions are a big help, too. They rock the sky. Everybody just gasps a little bit, and that's part of enjoying a fireworks show. And they like, the Oriental manufacturers are very artistic, and they like to see each shell fired up into the sky and burst. Ooh, ah. U.S. is just different. We like chaos. So they shoot them, and it's boom, 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 and it's overwhelming. And, you know, the two patterns of styles of discharging the fireworks are fascinating.
Fireworks are mostly created in China now, not in the U.S. Why is that?
One is just the labor cost. A second is the regulatory aspects. I mean, this country, we're very concerned about safety of any type of explosive material, so there are a lot of regulations that companies must comply with to be in the business, and we're slowly ceasing to be a manufacturer in this country, like many other industries. But China makes very, very nice fireworks.
That's John Conkling, Professor Emeritus of Chemistry at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland, and he's the former Executive Director of the American Pyrotechnic Association. Conkling is also the author of Boom, America's Ever-Evolving Fireworks Industry. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm producer Melissa Geer. We are talking about the science of fireworks. You were a pioneer in fireworks regulation. Why? How did you get involved in that?
I live in Chestertown, Maryland. There used to be a fireworks factory here in Chestertown. It blew up in the 1950s, but I was a young chemistry professor, and the industry was looking for someone to work with them from the technical side of making fireworks, using fireworks, firework safety. And my name was given to them as a possibility, and they asked me if I would be interested. And the beauty of being a chemist in this area, firework, you shoot it up in the air, you know, in 10 seconds whether it's a success or not. So right. Immediate feedback.
Sure.
And so it was just, to me, it's a fascinating area, and I was very fortunate to have an opportunity to get involved with it.
What does that work entail, working in the regulations? I know, I believe you've traveled a lot because of it.
Yes, I've made over 40 trips to China on behalf of the American side of the fireworks industry to assist the Chinese on behalf of their customers here in the United States, that everything that comes in meets all the U.S. requirements, has been tested for safety, for performance. So that's been my major area of interaction with China, just on what we've learned about firework safety. And they would come back with what they've learned. So from the minute it leaves the dock in Shanghai and gets over here and then gets unloaded and gets moved to wherever the warehouse is, everything goes smoothly.
And this is for professional fireworks as well as consumer grade?
There's a excellent set of regulations of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Any fireworks sold anywhere in this country has to comply with those Consumer Product Safety Commission regulations. And the injury rates have dropped. I mean, it's been a win-win situation. The fireworks are very, very nice, and they're much more reliable. When I first started testing some of these years and years ago, I mean, I was a runner at the time, and I'm glad I did, because you have to be ready if, take off for running. So, you learn a lot.
Oh, dear.
And you want that to happen when you're out in an appropriate test field and not, you know, in downtown Baltimore or downtown Washington.
Was there a turning point that made these industry standards necessary?
There have been a number of fireworks plant explosions over the years. And so each one of those would trigger, you know, why did it happen? How can we keep it from happening? And you then do testing, and that was where I first got involved with the industry.
You had mentioned the accident that happened in Chestertown. I read a little bit about that, and it wasn't just that something exploded. Wasn't it exploding for hours? I mean, it was really horrible, and people were fleeing the city?
There was a total manufacturing facility, so they had just the chemicals stored. They had chemical mixtures that had been prepared but not loaded into items yet sitting in there. They had the pellets, the intermediate stages of manufacturing, and it just progressed through the plant. And fireworks were more energetic back in the 50s versus today. And so the event was violent. From that, we learned you separate. You don't keep all your eggs in one basket. You have them in various places around the plant. You have barricades between buildings. You do everything you can that should you have an ignition, it stops before it's front page news.
What changes have you witnessed regarding fireworks design? I would imagine you have seen an arc, no pun intended, of those changes.
A huge change has been the sky effects, what you see up in the sky. It used to just be bursts and you'd get a shower of color. The Chinese, again, started making these pattern shells. It can be as simple as a huge circle or a huge sphere, but now some of the other effects they're trying to get, letters. I mean, the logical progression would be, will we ever see, you know, messages spelled out in the sky? And it's not out of the realm of possibility. China's trying to make it, and we'll see what happens.
Attending a fire show, you can see and smell the after effects. Are there environmental consequences to fireworks at all?
50 years ago, I would say definitely. There were lead compounds used, mercury compounds. There were a variety of chemicals used. The industry has certainly become environmentally aware because the government's looking at the residues. The safety groups are looking at the residues. And I think the fireworks today are considerably different from fireworks from 30 or 40 years ago. And there's, you know, toxicity is one of the big concerns of the industry.
Are you going to watch fireworks somewhere this year?
Well, unfortunately, my little town of Chestertown's not having a show. So they had a budget controversy over it. So we're not having one. But there are a number of them in surrounding towns here. I don't have a final plan yet, but I may well just get a few and take them out that are Maryland legal and take them out in my backyard and shoot them off. And I'll have some grandchildren here, and I'm sure they'll want to see some.
The town knows of your reputation, so if there's not a planned fireworks, they might just come knocking at your door saying, okay, we know you know how to do this. So,
well, but a lot of it, unless you have the right permits and the right insurance in the state of Maryland, you could spend the evening someplace you'd probably not want to be spending it. So trying to be very, very conscious about making sure I am obeying every clause in the Maryland fireworks statutes.
Why do you think people love watching fireworks so much?
I think it's something really just psychologically deep in the human soul to see the sky explode in color, noise, light. There's just something about going from darkness and peace and quiet to beautiful chaos up in the sky with booms and lights and flashes. And it's something in the human soul, I think, that responds. We go back to our caveman days where fire really controlled a lot of life, and we still have that fascination with it.
That was John Conkling, Professor Emeritus of Chemistry at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland. He's also the former director of the American Pyrotechnic Association. We met at his home office to talk about the science and regulation of fireworks. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm producer Melissa Geer, in for Sheila Cast. After the break, we'll hear from a fireworks coordinator about designing and detonating Baltimore's 4th of July fireworks display at the Inner Harbor this Thursday. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm producer Melissa Geer, in for Sheila Cast. We're talking today about fireworks. We spoke earlier with John Conkling, chemistry professor and former executive director for the American Pyrotechnic Association, to learn about the science behind fireworks. Now we'll turn to the design of fireworks, or what incites those oohs and ahs from the audience. Joining us by phone from Pyrotechnico Fireworks, home base in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, is scripting coordinator Jason Farrell. He'll supervise the installation and detonation of hundreds of pounds of fireworks for the Baltimore Office of Promotion in the Arts, Ports America Chesapeake 4th of July celebration this Thursday at Baltimore's Inner Harbor. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us today. So I know this is a busy time of year for you. How far in advance does the planning start for a fireworks event like the one in Baltimore's Harbor? Walk us through the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we started probably 2 months ago or so, starting with the soundtrack design and, you know, picking the music that would be played along with the choreography.
Who picks the music?
Yeah, so the client is always the person that picks the music with our direction. You know, we work with them very closely on exactly what they're looking for.
So the music has to be signed off on first before you start kind of choosing what fireworks goes where.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, as we're doing that, we're looking to see, you know, as we're suggesting different tracks or we're providing our feedback, we're also thinking about what kind of design we can do to that and, you know, making sure to keep it interesting the whole time and be able to show people maybe something that they've never seen before.
And how does that design work? I would imagine there are computers involved.
Yeah, so we have a computer program called Show Director to actually design the show itself. You bring in the soundtrack, and then from there you can and pick the exact products. And it all gets dropped into this program, you know, and from there that turn into what you see on your individual shows.
And as script designer, this is kind of where you get your creative expression. You get to decide what this looks like in sync with the music?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like any creative job or hobby or, you know, passion, anything like that. You have, you know, within the tools that you're given, you have free rein of creating any kind of look that you want, any kind of design that you want, you know, and you utilize the music to come up with what that's going to look like. So if the music gets really fast or it's really dark or it gets very soft, you know, maybe it's an emotional moment, you would use the fireworks to try to accentuate that feeling to the audience.
And do the fireworks have distinct names? I can't imagine that you say, oh, I want to put a loud swirly one here. What are they called?
Yeah, so every firework, of course, has its own name, and you know the different manufacturers might have different names for a firework, but they're all pretty standard across the across the industry.
What are some of those names?
Yeah, so we have like a peony would be kind of your basic firework that everybody's used to seeing. So a chrysanthemum, a dahlia.
Are all the designs based on flower names?
No, I guess, you know, a lot of them are. A lot of your more traditional ones are. I think when they get to another level of interest, they, have to come up with a name that describes that. You know, we have something like a turbillion or a go-getter, a motor mine, you know, things that kind of more describe what the effect does.
Do any of those names come from the sounds that the audiences make when they see them? It kind of sounds like
it. You know? I think that would be a great idea to utilize that, but I don't think I've actually heard of one that utilizes what reaction you get from the firework itself.
How does the musical track timing work?
So, once the show is designed, there's a program that will go into our firing system, and you load that in there, and it has all the intricate timings. And when you fire a shell into the air, what you're typically looking for is for the burst of the shell, you know, the blossoming of the shell to happen on that beat rather than when it actually lifts out of the tube. So we have what's called a pre-fire time that allows it to raise into the air and burst on the beat rather than be lifting out of the tube. So, you know, we have all that information loaded into the computer system, and then we use GPS satellites to synchronize the music to any of the firing locations. And speaking specifically about Baltimore, we have the two barges and the music. So it's three different locations that we're synchronizing all together using GPS satellites.
What attracted you to working in this field?
My dad actually started here years and years and years ago. And, watching him do that, I started to get really interested in it, and especially the choreographed shows. You know, I have a background in music, so this is a way for me to be able to take my musical knowledge and my musical abilities and create something with that. Fireworks are pretty cool. So, you know, you start putting those with music, and it's a full experience for all of your senses. So, you know, started reading up on it and researching and figuring out, you know, how it all works, and you know, eventually was able to come on, you know, board with Pyrotechnico and about my passion.
That's Jason Farrell, scripting coordinator at Pyrotechnico Fireworks. He's in charge of the fireworks design and logistics at the Ports America Chesapeake 4th of July celebration in Baltimore's Inner Harbor this Thursday. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. When do you start setting up for the 4th of July show?
So we start setting up today, and we'll be setting up tomorrow the 2nd, and then the 3rd, and then also on the 4th all the way up to showtime.
And I imagine it's a little far in advance to know what the weather is going to be, but how does that affect what you're doing? Do you I imagine you have to plan for that.
We kind of plan that for any show that we do. We always have, canopies to be able to continue working under, because any delay in our work, you know, would put us behind with that setup because it is such a large setup.
And what does it cost to put something on like this? I would imagine a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. The size that we're talking about here, it's tens of thousands of dollars to put on the show.
Are there any kinds of hints you can give us about what the show is going to include? Any kind of music choices or any firework trends that you're dipping into?
As far as design goes, I think one thing that's really cool about the Baltimore show in general is you have two different barges that are being synchronized together. And for this year, we're actually beefing up the barge on the Inner Harbor so that both barges, you know, whether you can see one barge, you can see both barges. you will actually get a full show no matter where you watch the show from.
Well, that is good news for our listeners. Thank you so much for talking us through this, and I cannot wait to see the show on Thursday.
You're welcome.
That's Jason Farrell, scripting coordinator at Pyrotechnico Fireworks. He's supervising the fireworks design and logistics for the Baltimore Office of Promotion and the Arts Ports America Chesapeake 4th of July celebration this Thursday. Fireworks begin at 9:30 p.m. Music by the U.S. Navy jazz band Commodores starts at 7, all at the Inner Harbor. We have information about that and other Independence Day events at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. On the Record's director and engineer is Nathan Sterner. Maureen Harvey and I, Melissa Gear, produce the program, and I'm also sitting in today for our host, Sheila Cast. John Ahrens wrote and recorded the On the Record theme music, and Izzy Hettleman is our intern. Thanks for listening, On the Record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.